This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, May 29, 2014, the Feast of the Ascension of Our Lord Jesus Christ, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
God has gone up with a shout. The words from the psalm that we just heard read, it's interesting to look at something that was written, again, psalms are in the Old Testament, something that were written hundreds of years before our Lord ever came into this world in the flesh. And the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, God has gone up with a shout. Now, if you look at the writer of the psalms, when they speak of God, where is God for them? It's in heaven, right? So why would the psalmist write, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God has gone up with a shout? It's prophetic. That particular psalm speaks of the rule of God over the earth, over all creation. God has gone up with a shout. Again, for a Hebrew person living when that was written, they would know God is in heaven. So what is this whole idea about going up? It doesn't come to fruition until the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. The ascension is the culmination of Christmas and Easter. All the mysteries of our religion, every single one of them, come to a fore at the incarnation. That's when all the prophecies of the Old Testament are coming to reality in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the mysteries of our religion commence at the incarnation. They commence at baptism. Now, you always have to remember, stress it all the time, Jesus Christ was always God, the eternal Son of the Father, okay? There was a time when he was not man, but never a time when he was not God. But when he clothed himself with flesh, that is again the time when all the mysteries start to coalesce, all the prophecies, all the conjectures of the theologians of the time. All the things that were written, they come to fruition in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnation is that point in time. The ascension is the culmination of Christ's earthly ministry. The writer of the Hebrews, at the beginning of that book, says, in times past, God has spoken to us in various and sundry ways, prophets, dreams, you know, you name it, all the different ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God can do no more than he did than with the incarnation. God came down, and to use a colloquial term, God is in your face, literally, because he puts on a face. It's not ethereal anymore. It's not an abstraction. He's not the one that smokes on Mount Sinai and thunders and the earthquakes and everything. His grace and truth are communicated to us in a man, Jesus Christ. And that psalmist writes of our Lord when he says, God has gone up with a shout, because he wants to emphasize the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where this all comes together for us on the ascension, because when we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand that he is God by virtue of his divine nature. Again, it was communicated to us in the Psalms. By virtue of his divine nature, he is God. No question. The psalmist says that. He is the fruition of all the prophecies, as I said before. He is God by virtue of his divine nature, but he is our King by virtue of his humanity. You get your mind around that for a couple seconds. He is God because of his divinity, and he is our King because of his humanity. Never to be separated again, humanity and Godhead. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in the heavenlies right now as we speak, making intercession for us in the same body that he walked this earth. What does that tell us? What does that communicate to us, particularly here at the ascension? Because the glories of the ascension really communicate to us why we do what we do. And by that I mean why we worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Why we come into these four walls and try to revere our Lord as best we possibly can, given our limitations as human beings, our limitations of earthly resources, and our limitations of our knowledge, but still to understand why we reverence Him the way we do. It's because of His ascension, because of His kingship, because of understanding who He was and now how He reigns. It objectively communicates to us what our Lord said to Pontius Pilate at His trial. Remember, Pilate looks at Him, for those of you who like to take notes on stuff like this, John chapter 18. Pilate looks at Jesus and says, "So, you are the King of the Jews." And Jesus responds, "My kingdom is not of this world." And then Pilate, you know, after a long retort back and forth, Pilate, "So you are a king." And Jesus, you know, we heard all that whole trial thing several weeks ago during the week of Passion. The ascension objectively manifests to us what our Lord was trying to communicate to Pilate. Remember, everything ends up by Pilate looking at our Lord and saying, "What is truth? How do we know what a truth is? We have to see it." You know, the old cliche, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see, and you might be kind of close to getting the truth. The truth is something that is propositionally correct, and the only way we can know it's the truth is if it is objectively manifest to us. And that's what the ascension does when it speaks of the kingship of our Lord. All of a sudden, heaven doesn't become the ethereal plane on which, you know, we conjecture we might go after we breathe our last. Heaven is there now, and it is inhabited by a human body, the one in which our Lord Jesus Christ ascended, and also by our Blessed Mother, who was assumed into heaven, body and soul. So two people in their earthly bodies are inhabiting heaven right now. To appreciate that is to appreciate the reality of His kingdom. And when you understand and appreciate the reality of the kingdom, it makes you want to come in here and reverence Him the way He ought to be worshipped. There's rationale as to why we do what we do and why we do it the way that we do it. Because of who He is and what He is doing. He is reigning right here and right now. That's why we need to continuously focus on things heavenly. You know, that's not some kind of spiritualization of the Catholic life. It is very, very practical for us. We have to understand that this earth is just that. It is earthly and it is transient. It doesn't matter how much good we do to this planet, you know, in whatever context. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people you deal with positively. It doesn't matter how much good you do. It is transient. And 100 years from now, guess what? Nobody's going to remember it. Because everybody's going to be gone. And there'll be a new group of people, should the Lord tarry, doing good things. So, the bottom line is to understand that we should not be focused on this earthly and transient realm in which we live, but on the spiritual and on the eternal. On the spiritual and on the eternal. Our Lord Jesus Christ desires us to follow Him in mind and in heart. He wants us to have our minds focused on heaven. He wants us to be appreciative of the fact that our hearts are not in this world. St. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Our commonwealth is in heaven." Not your commonwealth is in heaven after you die. Or maybe your commonwealth might be. Our commonwealth is, present tense, in heaven. The writer to the Hebrews, "Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come." That is the way we are supposed to live our Catholic lives. That is not to say we're not supposed to do good in this world. We are supposed to use this world for the advance of Christ's kingdom. We are to use this world to convert others who do not know Him yet. That is evangelization. That is what we are called to do. That is your mission. Again, not to focus on the things that we can do good here, but the advance of the kingdom of Christ that culminates way, way past this world, way, way past the 100 years that we may have here. And the appreciation from that, again, is when it's practically manifest to us the necessities of worshiping Him aright. And I just don't mean in these four walls. I mean when you go out there. I mean when you communicate the gospel. There should be a burden on your heart that it is imperative for people to hear it, whether they're in your own family, whether they're your friends, strangers. It doesn't make any difference. If it comes to light for you that they don't know Christ, you need to put him there, at least before them. You need to proclaim the gospel. That's what the ascension's about. The ascension is about making the kingdom of God a reality for us, because it demonstrates by Christ going up there in his earthly body that it is a place for us. It is a place that is not conjecture. It is objective reality. And when we appreciate that, we will do the work that we're supposed to do here. The end of that reading from Ephesians today, I'll read it again. St. Paul speaking about what God has done with our Lord. He has put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church of which we are all members, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You, by virtue of your baptism, you have to understand that you are part of the fullness of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not a decapitated head that sits in heaven while his body struggles down here. We are integral with him. That's why he ascended into heaven, to send the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that we could truly and objectively be his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his hands, and his feet in this world. That's the necessity. You are part of his body, and you are not separated from him. That's why you have to appreciate. And that's why we should do as much as we can possibly do for him. This probably doesn't come to fruition any place more pointed than at the altar rail. When you go up to the altar rail and you receive this God who is currently right here and right now reigning from the heavenlies, to know that he sends his Holy Spirit not only to dwell within you, but to hover over the altars of all Catholic churches and to present himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that you can take him within yourselves to be strengthened to do this work of which I speak. That's an important thing. That's where you gain the knowledge to do it, the strength to do it, the courage to do it. It is that real. It is so important. When you start to maybe lose sight of that, think of the ascension. We hear about it every Mass. It's in the canon every time we come to Mass, that his glorious ascension. Why? Because that is where our Christian lives become a reality. Again, the incarnation started the earthly ministry of our Lord and the presentation of him in all his divine majesty. But his ascension objectively proves to us that his kingdom is not of this world, and that's where our focus should be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.